Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bryn Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Hey, it's Dustin. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need fast and start the job your way with their free next day delivery. You don't even have to leave the house. And with free same day store pickup, you can get in and out. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We check in with Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
You know, Dave, the mind goes to the last time the Bears traded for a quarterback from Seattle, which was,
Here we go.
I believe 1997, and you were going into year five as the Bears coach, and the Rick Meyer trade happened.
Oh, get out! Oh, no!
What was the feeling for you and that at that point, you and Rod Graves, going into that offseason when you're going into your fifth year and you know you got to get something done at that point?
Such a thing to say.
Well, you know, I mean, no one's going to believe this because obviously it didn't work out.
It goes to show it's hard to know.
Yeah, it is.
There's no way to know.
All right. Coach, yeah, I'm sorry I brought up the Seattle stuff. My bad. Never again, I promise.
If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Texter had it right. It yeah. was it, your question about the Holocaust to Flew LeBorg was the question of Rick Meyer to Dave Wannstedt.
Yeah.
Why do you got to do that? Why do you got to do that?
I was look.
Hey, oh wait, this trade led to you getting fired. Let's bring that up.
I can't deny any of that.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
I feel like the interviews have gone very well today. What do you think is different about them? You guys noticing anything? There's like a real absence of Third Reich and Rick Meyer questions.
Yeah, we're not asking anybody how they feel about mass genocide and murder.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a difference. Then we should examine that going forward as maybe a policy here on the show. But if you missed Tim Anderson, I know, man, White Sox Twitter, they hated me for a while. Now they're big fans of that quote I got out of Tim Anderson.
Are they?
I don't know. I'm just
they're fans of the quote.
They're fans
Let's
of the
relax.
Yeah, all right.
I've heard from many saying specifically, and this is via both phone and email. Hey, let's just get something clear here. Love the quote from TA. Hate Danny. And I'm saying, no, don't do that. He's been an advocate for our nice little team on the south side for a couple weeks now. So I'm trying to get him back on your side. But, man, it's going to take more than a quote from TA.
What did I do?
Well, you went to, I don't know if you remember this, but you went to a Sox game with Shep and Mike frickin' Chen with a giant sign that said Chicago wants Machado in Cubs colors.
People forget that Mike Chen was there.
Yeah, they do. Maybe Tanny's best tweet in the history of his Twitter timeline took a SunTimes picture of Mike Chen just looking off into the distance, captioned it, "When it's been a long day, but a good day."
When it's been a long but fun day.
Long but fun day. I got to find that tweet.
Thankfully, Dennis Gambino at Gambino Forever still has it pinned to the top of his Twitter.
All right.
I adore this picture of Mike Chen so much. He's just as American as you are, by the
way. Yeah, no, that's what I hear.
How much Chinese can you speak? Just a little bit? I don't think you're fluent to it, are you? No, he's not. He's as American as you and I are, but...
That moment, it made the entire overnight shift and losing the season-long NFL
there.
Dude, I got them to say it, because he was like, he told me about getting the Yao Ming shirt and how he gave it as a gift to Mike Chen. I was like, well, why did you give that as a gift to Mike Chen? And then he said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, you're just paying off, aren't you?
I get quotes. Get quotes out of people. But it was a joke. Little bit of humor. Never hurt anybody. I'm a big fan of what you guys got going on there on the South Side.
I don't think people are thrilled about the Sox jersey thing, too, to be honest with you.
That was your guys' idea.
I don't remember that, do you?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
The Parkins 18 jersey?
Yeah, it was your guys' idea. Huh. You think I wanted to spend $130 on a personalized jersey that I don't even want to wear? It was your idea.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think so.
This talent, they're delusional sometimes. I don't
this
know.
This is an outrage.
Maybe it's a success. Maybe it's finally, he's got a good show here with Spiegel. You know, he's riding Spiegel's coattails.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
There's a lot of bad info out there about involvement in that situation.
Shane's credit card even paid for it, and I Venmo'd him.
No, there's no way.
Sox Twitter doesn't like me for that jersey that was your guys' idea.
They like the 18 part of it.
Love though. The 18 part of it.
They get that joke. They get that bit.
Hey, man, I think there's plenty of time for you to earn your way back.
What do I have to do?
You're fine with us. You bought Tanny the pullover. He can be bought.
I'm looking forward to wearing that pullover. I got to be
it's
honest
a nice
with you.
Pullover.
I asked Shane today. I was like, is it coming? Did you get it?
I think it might come today.
What do I have to do to win over the White Sox internet?
Hey. It's not going to be immediate. The door is open.
Definitely. Oh, it's
we're,
open.
We're gonna take the next few months to evaluate your content.
Oh, stop.
And we'll see what happens. And then maybe down the line, things will be okay.
Okay. What are you, one of the professional sports teams in town or
was
White
that,
Sox Twitter?
Is that two inside?
No, it made us laugh. It made us laugh.
That's all I care about. My audience of two.
That's great. It'll take us right to the top, Mob. All right. Well, I'll work on it. You let me know what I have to do to get back in their good graces, and I may or may not do it. Hey, Tanny, whenever Michael Kopech has a start, you and me, buddy, third baseline tradition.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. We go to games where Michael Kopech starts, and I drop hundreds of dollars on beers trying to buy fans out on the South Side. It's frankly not the worst type of marketing, if I could be honest with you. But today, on the old worldwide leader in sports, is Rob Ninkovich, right, who did this? This is the...
Yeah, Chicagoland area native.
Yes, of course. This is the level of excitement that just being included, okay? Just the inclusion on, hey, if Russell Wilson got traded, these are the four teams he'd consider... The Bears being one of the four teams, even if they are the least likely of the four teams to be able to pull off the trade, just that level of inclusion leads to this type of excitement on the worldwide leader.
Rob Ninkovich, again, the pride of Joliet, Illinois. Russell Wilson has named the Chicago Bears as one of the teams he might go to. The Bears have been in existence since 1920 and have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in a season. What do you think Russell Wilson's addition would mean in Chicago?
All right, Grinny, let me get in character real quick for you, okay? I'm sitting here in the city of broad shoulders, Chi-Town, Chicago, the Windy City. We're definitely, we would love to have Russell Wilson. You think about Russell Wilson, what he could bring to Chicago, bring to the Bears. We would win the Super Bowl every single year. Think back to this. I woke up this morning, and I had myself a dozen egg omelet with Polish sausage inside. It was the best thing, grilled onions, everything. I was happy. Then I turned on Get Up. I heard that Russell Wilson wanted to be a Chicago Bear. And guess what? I almost fell over with a heart attack because of how excited I was. February 6th, 2022, the super fans and the Bears fans will be in L.A. They'll be grilling the Polish sausages. They'll replace the smog with the sweet smell of Polish sausage and bratwurst because the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl 70-3.
Go Bears.
That's all it takes. All it takes for the superfan sketch to make its way to ESPN in 2021 is to be one of four teams that Russell Wilson would want to trade for if he was traded when he won't be traded. It's amazing, man. We are so quarterback starved. I'm not the only one. I know people think that I want to give up too much for Russ or for Deshaun Watson. Hell, I'd give up two firsts and a player for Derek Carr. And I don't even think he's top 10 in the league. Just having the position answered would be enough. I just want to try it that way. You know how some people, I don't want to make that political analogy, but whatever, I will. In 2016.
Just don't. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday. We're so close. Yeah, really only have to get to 23 because then we got TA replay.
All right. A lot of people's justification for the previous 4 years was like, let's do it a different way. Maybe the real estate mogul golf course guy from the TV show would be a good president.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
Like, there was a lot of data that came out and analysis that was like, we just wanted to try something different.
Data or data.
Yeah. And, you know, the results, frankly, not great. But it was different, was the explanation. I would really like to try a different approach to professional football in Chicago.
We already had it. I hate to break it to you. We had it already with the Mitch trade on draft night. That was a different approach. That was a different movie. We got it. Where we go from here, I don't know.
It was. Okay, so that is a fair point. But, like, I want, this would be different in that, like, Russ, you know, is good. Deshaun, you know, is good. Derek Carr, you know, is good. Like,
Hey, you ever think, if they knew he was good, why'd they take him? You ever think about that?
I have. I've spent a little bit of time thinking about it. But the idea, basically, is you know what it is, Tanny? That the process of Mitch Trubisky was flawed because it led them to Mitch, but the ideas behind it weren't flawed. I said so at the time. Everyone crushed Ryan Pace from trading up from 3 to 2. I still don't have a problem with it. Because his evaluation was that you couldn't settle for second best quarterback in that class. Now, he was wrong. Yeah, he was wrong. It's laughable. But he believed that there was Trubisky and everybody else, and he had Mahomes second, and that he was buying insurance on getting his guy. And if he would have taken Mahomes, no one would have cared about the couple of third-round, mid-round picks that he gave up. No one would have cared because it would have been insurance to get your guy. You buy a Ferrari, you're going to buy car insurance. You buy $1 million home, you're going to have homeowner's insurance. You buy insurance on your most valuable assets. Those mid-round picks were insurance to be sure that he got his guy. So I didn't have a problem with it then. I don't have a problem with it now. I have a problem with not taking the dude out to dinner, not fully scouting everybody and getting it wrong, and then being, you know, smug about it after the fact. And that's me calling someone else smug. But I think that the logic behind the aggressiveness for the move is right. And so I want them to do it again. I don't really want Ryan Pace to do it again, but George McCaskey.
Well, that's the thing.
He's already made that decision, though. Like,
yeah, he broke the social contract.
Yes.
Everyone was under the assumption, Ryan Pace, you're saddled to Mitch Trubisky. If he doesn't work, this is on you. And even he admitted on the airways when Jason Goff phrased it that exact same way. Like, hey, you're tied to Mitch for the rest of your career here. He's like, yeah, man, I'm all in, Ryan Pace said. And then what happened? Didn't work out. And then everyone broke the social contract. And here's where we're at.
Yes, that is exactly right. And it's unfortunate, and they broke the social contract, as you put it, because they traded for Khalil Mack, and they won 12 games, and everyone, all hell broke loose with the McCaskey family, frankly, and they bought in with it. But now, what would be different is if they did it for the veteran. Because doing it for the draft pick is always going to be a roll of the dice. And I still want them to do that eventually. Like, it's still the best thing. Like, the best thing for the Bears would be, like, what I would give for the Bears to be the Jaguars right now. Oh, it'd be amazing. Like, if you, God, could you imagine how exciting it would be? $100 million in cap space, a brand new coach, and all you got to do is select a quarterback with the pedigree of Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. And then you just let the chips fall where they may, and you hope he's your quarterback for the next 15 years, and you see how much you can build around him and win in that period of time. It's an amazing opportunity. But the Bears, they're too good to get a rookie QB, but their coach and GM are desperate. And again, I don't think that these quotes got enough play in this town because it was Super Bowl week, because it was print and not video or audio. I don't think Matt Nagy's quotes to Mike Silver got enough play. Anything we can think of, we're going to look into it. We feel like we're really close. That's Matt Nagy to Mike Silver about quarterback. He sold George McCaskey on being a quarterback away. These quotes are in the context of, hey, Tom Brady's playing in his 10th Super Bowl. Tampa made an aggressive bid for him. Matt Nagy's one of the people quoted in this. Asked if he believes that teams will be more aggressive in terms of quarterback acquisition because of the Brady success. Quote, I absolutely do. I think you look at the four teams that were in the conference title games and the guys that were leading those teams, and you look at the impact a big-time quarterback can have on a franchise. You're looking at maybe 10, 12 quarterbacks that are starters in the league for sure who are quote-unquote locked in, and that's it, which is crazy to think about. This is a coach who sold his owner on them being a quarterback away, and this is a coach who sold his owner on, hey, I did my best with Mitch. Now, we can disagree with that all we want, but that's what he did. So he's like, let me be involved in the next big swing. Yeah, Ryan's here, and you guys like Ryan, and Ryan's done a nice job with some mid-round draft picks and building out this defense or whatever, and it's easier to have some continuity than blowing the entire thing up. But let me, and my best friend drafted Pat Mahomes, let me be the guy who has the say in the quarterback that we get. I guarantee you that's what's happening right now. Matt Nagy is with Ryan Pace, and they're saying, all right, for these quarterbacks, we would trade 3 first-round picks. For these quarterbacks, we would trade 2. For these quarterbacks, we would trade 1. These are the assets we're willing to throw in addition to it, and let's start at the top and work our way down. That's why they didn't make a formal offer on Carson Wentz. Because they think that there's going to be a better quarterback who changes teams this offseason. It's really risky. It's a real risky game of chicken. But if the draft comes and goes, man, like, that's what I don't know. I don't know what the Bears are going to do if they find themselves in a position where Russell Wilson isn't being traded until after June 1st, but the draft's in April, and if the Texans aren't trading Deshaun Watson, like, does Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace hold out for the post-June 1 trade where it's easier financially for Seattle to trade Russ, or do they move up and draft Mac Jones with the 12th overall pick by trading next year's first to move up and get him? I don't know the answer to that. Because a sensible thing would say, hey, no, just draft the best player available at 20, build your team through the draft, you don't have a ton of cap space, work out the cap space to bring back Allen Robinson, and wait and be patient and bide your time for a real quarterback to become available. Because you have two choices at this point. You don't trust Ryan Pace to draft a rookie. So it's either Matt Nagy drafts a rookie or you trade a lot for a veteran. Because they can't go in the next year with Nick Foles, Tyler Bray, and a third-round pick at quarterback. You can't do it. Their job security is not where it is. We know who they're calling on. They absolutely cannot do that. So Bill Barnwell today said, the Bears are in win-now mode. They would feel the hit of losing the first-round picks down the line, but trading for Wilson would maximize their window over the next 2 years. They trade three first-rounders for Wilson 100 times out of 100. That's what it is, man. The Bears will trade three first-round picks for Russell Wilson if Seattle puts him on the market. And again, I think that if Seattle puts him on the market, he's a Raider or a Cowboy. And I don't think he's a Saint or a Bear. I think the Seahawks would be making the Saints the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. And I don't think they want to do that, given that they are in the NFC. And I don't think you want to trade him to the Bears because the Bears don't have a path to give Seattle back a quarterback. Dallas, I don't even know what you need to do. Like, Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson, maybe Dallas has to throw in a draft pick. But, like, that's a pretty even trade. Russ is better than Dak, but Dak's younger, but Dak's coming off of an injury. That's a pretty even trade. So I think that one's easy to do. And then for the Raiders, it's probably Derek Carr and a first-round pick for Russell Wilson. Maybe another mid-round pick, and that's it. They're debating on ESPN right now who the better trade target is, Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. That's idiotic. One of them is 32. The other is 25. Which one do you think is the better trade target?
Well, if you're going to be making the trade, like, you know, I think they're probably talking about assets being a part of it. Like giving up minimal assets for someone you know is good now. I think that's probably part of the debate.
Well, yeah, but my point is, like, if Bill Barnwell says you're giving up three first-round picks for Russell Wilson, you can't trade more than 3 years into the future. So, like, there's a cap. Like, yes, it would take more to get Deshaun Watson than it would be to get Russell Wilson. But I'll go on the record right now. I would rather have Deshaun Watson than Russell Wilson, but I'd throw a parade for either of them.
Be careful, man. People save audio like crazy nowadays.
Yeah, my bad. My bad. Either one would be worthy of a celebration this city hasn't seen since the last time we won a championship in this town. It would be the greatest thing to happen to Chicago sports since the 2016 Cubs. It would be. It'd be amazing.
Are we overlooking Russell Wilson may not be good anymore? I'm hearing a lot of that the past few days.
He's good. Stop. He is good.
I certainly would take him, obviously, but like I could totally see this happening. And why didn't anyone say he was bad?
He's good. I promise you he's good.
You have a source on that? Or
yeah, eyes. And I've had LASIK. Yeah, he's good. He has some improvisational tendencies. He takes a lot of sacks. But I am here and willing to exclusively report that Russell Wilson is good. And dare I say great. And going to be in the Hall of Fame. And would be the best quarterback in the history of the Bears franchise. So, yeah, this is, by the way, why they gave me the big bucks to do afternoons.
All right, so here's my question. Let's just total hypothetical, man.
Yeah.
We have you on tape saying that.
Yeah.
Let's say Russell Wilson next season, regardless of who he's playing for, throws 15 interceptions to 20 touchdowns, 20 interceptions to 20 touchdowns. What are you willing to do, having stood on that ledge and died on that hill, that Russell Wilson is still good?
Oh, wow. What do you want me to do? There's not a scenario where Russell Wilson throws more interceptions than touchdowns. It will never happen in his career.
Would you say there's a 0.0% chance?
Yeah. Assuming full season of play. Like, not like he gets hurt in one game, throws two picks against one touchdown. But if he plays a full season, Russell Wilson will never have more interceptions than touchdowns. Yeah. I'll do whatever you want.
All right, we'll think on it.
Okay, yeah. I'm willing to go out all the way on that limb all by myself. Tim Anderson was an insane amount of fun today. He dropped a line that we already have on a t-shirt, 670thescore.threadless.com. He's the best athlete interview in Chicago. Tim Anderson next on The Score.
Change the game, baby. Change the game.
Bring him home. 1-0 Sox. Tim Anderson.
Tim, as you were running the bases, you know, you're doing that.
Silences the crowd.
Any significance to that? Just having fun? Or was there a particular message in that?
Let them sleep, baby. Let them sleep. Let them sleep.
The commitment the White Sox have made, they're done hearing about let's build and get good.
When he hits a home run, it's spaghetti night for dinner. He gets a big plate of spaghetti.
It's time for a pasta party.
Pasta party at my house. Everybody invited. Come on, baby.
We have a lot of good energy going and a very, very bright future for the White Sox.
The Sox are in first place.
You know, those pitchers in the hallway are still the same. Those are getting old.
Up the middle. Tough play. Tim unloads. And got it.
Did you see the MLB Network top 10 shortstops?
Yeah, that's...
This to shortstop, Tim flags it down. Off the spin, he got him. Nice play. We all will journey together into October with the White Sox.
I mean, it's a lefty, so I guess they haven't did their homework.
That slider is lined into right center. Another hit for Tim Anderson. Who's shocked? Another hit for Tim Anderson. Canna can't catch it. Kind of a hanging breaking ball punched. So Anderson has his 9th hit in these 3 games. He's the first player in the history of Major League Baseball with 9 hits in his first 3 career postseason games.
You know, I'm gonna give everything I got to, you know, try to deliver something that's really cool and really dope, something that you can cherish for life.
And the White Sox have won the World Series.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
With Tim Anderson on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. TA, thanks for the time, man. How have you been?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on. I've been great. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. You know, we're the snow finally melted here in Chicago, so it's a little better around here.
That's great. I'm in Arizona. The sun is beaming.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't rub it in, man. You got out just in the right time.
I'll try not to.
I appreciate it. How did it feel to get? I know it's just a split squad game, but how did it feel out there today?
No, it felt good. You know, the chemistry is still there. You know, team's still building. You know, today was a great, you know, great practice today. You know, it's been a great week so far. Everybody seemed to be pulling from the same screen. And, you know, we've been listening to Tony. He's going to lead us in the right direction. So, feel good about it.
That's great. I want to talk about Tony in a bit. But your guys' chemistry is pretty unmistakable for, like, anyone who's been around the team for a minute. Like,
yeah,
you guys – so when Yoan Moncada drops that music video and that song – you guys all just make fun of him, or do you praise him? Like, when you saw his song for the first time, what's the reaction?
I root him on, because you never know. You never know guys' talent. You never know what guys like to do in their off time. So I root him on. It was a cool video. You know, he got talent. So, you know, why not? You know, you don't live twice. You don't live once. So why not do everything that you love? And I think that's something that he love. And, you know, I think it was dope.
He's a hell of a dancer.
Yeah, he is. He always dancing.
Who's the best dancer on the team?
Probably him.
you think so?
Yeah, probably him. He's always dancing, always in a good mood. So, you know, definitely a great guy to have around.
No, I just thought it was very cool. Like, you guys all, you know, you have your YouTube channel and your interests. Like, it's a team that seems to have a lot of guys with a lot of interest that the fans get to know, I guess. It's very relatable.
Yeah, baseball is just what we do. We love it, but you know we also have other things that draw our interest as well. So, you know, why not do those things that draws your interest? You know, you can't just continue to just be a baseball player. You got to do something else as well.
What are your biggest interests off the field?
I like music as well. I like to shoot basketball. I don't like to play, but you know, but most part, I like to spend time with my family, with my kids. I'm real low key. I don't really do much. I only move when it's necessary.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
It's nice, right? Just kick back on the couch and watch a show or something like that.
Yeah, man. It'd be a long season. So in the off season, I like to kick back and, you know, get my body a rest and also soak up some time with the kiddos and, you know, just enjoy life. You know, life's so beautiful.
No, I could not agree more. I'm a new dad myself in the last year. Thank you. Those kids will wear you out. You've got 2 daughters, right?
Oh yeah, they'll definitely get you.
I was gonna say, what's more tiring, the grind of 162 or being a dad of 2 little girls?
Probably the grind. The grind is, you know, that's definitely real. But, you know, I get to separate it, and I get to, you know, I get to separate from being a player to being a dad. So it's so cool to just, you know, once I leave the field, man, whatever at the field is still there. So I have to go home and be a dad. And, you know, just to walk through the door and see my two little girls there, man, it's you know how I feel. You can't really explain it. It's just love, man. They're happy. They don't know what went on in your day, but, you know, you gotta put a smile on and make them happy and, you know, continue to, you know, guide and lead them in the right direction.
You know, so I became a dad for the first time during this pandemic, and it's been weird, right? It's just like me and my wife, and you're kind of relying on yourself because you can't see as many other people. What was it? How did you do it? Like, as a dad of two girls in the pandemic, and you're balling out on the field, but all this craziness is going on around you and in the city and all that. Was it hard having that separation and having the focus on the field, but then also like being a good and present dad given the craziness of the last year?
Yeah, it wasn't really too tough because, you know, they're my motivation. They're the reason why I go so hard. I got to make sure they're good. I got to make sure they eat. I got to make sure they got a house over their head. So they understand the grind, and, you know, that's one reason why I work so hard and continue to, you know, go out and get better each and every year because of them. So they understand it, and, you know, they're my motivation.
That's beautiful. We're talking to Tim Anderson here on The Score. You talk about getting better each and every year. What's the next step for Tim Anderson this year?
Just continue to, you know, continue to do what I've been doing. You know, we're at a point now where we're not proving anything to nobody. We're just doing what the team needs and, you know, doing what makes self happy and doing what makes, you know, team happy and, you know, being a great teammate. I think it's just about keep going. We got to keep pushing and keep having fun is the biggest thing. And, you know, I think we'll reach all our goals that we need if we just, you know, rally around each other and, you know, be in this as one. You won't really worry about the other things. You're really focus on winning. That's what we're here for.
How much do those things for you go hand in hand? Like if you're having fun, you're performing well on the field and vice versa. If you're not having fun, you're struggling.
No, I'm always going to have fun. I'm always going to be in a positive, you know, try to be in a positive mind frame because life is bigger than baseball, you know. But in that moment, we are in baseball and love what I do. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I try not to let this wrap around my life to where it really, you know, mess with me. I try to separate it. And, you know, work is work and home is home.
I'd imagine that makes it easier to get over like an 0-for-4 day at the plate, right?
Yeah, definitely. We just forget about it. You know what you're capable of doing. You know, when you step in that box, you know what you're capable of doing. And you're going to have games where you don't get hits. And that's cool. So, that's, you know, I look at those as donations. You got to donate some at-bats to get more hits. So those days you do go 0-for-4, just look at it as a donate. I donated 4 at-bats to the pitcher so that tomorrow I'll get his friend.
you're a charitable guy like that. That's very nice.
Yeah, you got to take care of the people. Got to take care of the community. Got to take care of everybody.
So sometimes you even got to take care of the pitchers.
Yeah, got to show love to them too, man. I tip my cap. You had a great day, but your friend's gonna roll out tomorrow, and I'll make you feel it through him.
Yeah, his friend's gonna pay for it.
Yeah, somebody got to pay, man.
That's amazing. We're talking to Tim Anderson here on The Score. So in your first answer, you said, you know, just listening to Tony. We played the cut earlier in the show for when you were on with Chuck Garfine about at the beginning of, like, you. I loved your candor, man, because you are the most honest athlete, I think, in this city. You said when he was hired that you definitely were not open to it because of your relationships in the past and not knowing him and all of that. But then the other day, you're like, you're 110% bought in. So I'm just curious, like, what did he do to earn that trust in you and that, like, change of tune?
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, with the hire, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. So at that point, that didn't have my interest because, you know, when you're trying something new, it's kind of weird at first. So, of course, you're not going to like it. But, you know, as I got to camp and, you know, over the off season, we exchanged texts and kind of got on the same page and built the relationship, got to spring training. We had one-on-one sit down, talk. Camp's been going good. He going to let me play. He going to let me do what I do. He going to let me bat flip. No, I'm just lying.
No, be honest.
He's going to let me have fun, man. He's going to let me have fun. He's going to let me, you know, nothing's going to change. And he's going to put us in the best, you know, position to be, you know, to be winners. And, you know, the best position to be great. And, you know, I like what I'm seeing, and I like, you know, conversations, and I like, you know, everything that's going on in camp right now. I like it.
Yeah, I know you were kind of tongue in cheek there, like he's going to let you bat flip, but were you at all like, oh man, is this old dude going to let me bat flip? Like that was a thing that had to have crossed your mind.
yeah, but I was never worried. I was never worried because, you know, I'm pretty sure a manager, that a guy like him, he's going to want a guy that goes out and play hard every day, that's going to bring it every day. So, and for me, that's just how I play. You know, that's when I'm in my best. So I don't think there ever was a question. Or, you know, it never was a problem. I think it always, you know, I was going to play the way I was going to play, either way it goes, you know. But, you know, I guess we could say that Tony does approve to everybody else that's wondering.
for anyone who's wondering, Tony La Russa signs off on Tim Anderson bad flips.
Tony likes to have fun, too. Tony can have fun, too. It's okay.
good. How much – let's do it this way then. Like, how much do managers matter? They talk a lot, but how much do they matter?
No, they definitely matter a lot. You know, from the outside looking in, you may think, oh, this is the guy that makes the, you know, makes the lineup card. But in reality, man, he's there every pitch. You know, he's making decisions throughout the games that people that really don't even know about. And so he's just putting us in the best position to win. But, you know, it definitely matters. Definitely matters who leads your ball club. I mean, I think he's going to put us in the right position, offensively and defensively. So I think that's what we win. You know, we can't forget what the ultimate goal is here is to win. You know, so we just got to keep pushing and you know, just follow what he says. And I think we're in a good spot. We're in a good seat. Not really too much to worry about. So everybody, just calm down. It's okay. He has it.
Listen, man. I honestly, I think most White Sox fans are pretty confident in this team.
Yeah, definitely they should be. You know, they see you've been watching us for over the past couple of years, and honestly, we have been progressing, and guys are maturing, and guys are getting better each and every day, and guys are working their tail off. So it's only right to be 100% in on us because the grind is real. You guys have watched it from the beginning, and we work, man. We work every day. We work to get better. If you ain't working to get better, what you working for? So that's the mindset here, man. We just work to get better, and you know, the ultimate goal is to win. We want to win.
Well, you feel like the type of guy that when you win one World Series, you'll be immediately talking about winning the next one.
Yeah, I definitely want another one. If I win the first one, I mean, I ain't just playing just to play. I'm playing to win.
Well, that's interesting though. Like you know, your daughters are your motivation. You play to win. But like, do you think about legacy and stuff like that within the game?
Not really. I think that's take care of itself. You know, there's not really too much to worry about. I think you just really control what's now. You'd be fine.
This team, you know, it seems like the sky's the limit for it. Like, if you were scouting the White Sox, how would you evaluate what this team has and doesn't have right now?
You can't really label it because it's so many like pieces that's just we got everything. You know, not to try to sound like crazy or anything about the team because I'm on the team, but honestly, we got a lot of good pieces and it's really hard to label because you got guys from like Abreu all the way down to Moncada. To, we go to pitcher staff, to Gio, to Keuchel, to Lance. Like it's so many pieces that's there, and nobody knows our mindset. Like nobody knows how good a person can be, but that person and his drive. So it's kind of hard to put a label on somebody because you never know their mindset or how good they want to be. So, but we do got a lot of things in our toolbox. We got a lot of tools. Yeah, a lot of tools, man.
You guys also have a lot of personality. Can you talk to me about the leadership of the team and like how all of those personalities blend together in that clubhouse?
No, man, we just try to keep it open and honest. Try to be real. And we understand that we're on the same team, so this has to be something. To win, you have to come together as a brotherhood, and everybody understands that. And we allow everybody to be open. We allow everybody to – you have a voice from rookie all the way up, like – Talk. That's the only way we're going to know you. That's the only way you're going to be yourself. And that's the only way you're going to give me 100% you, if you're yourself. And, you know, that's kind of how it is. And so that really brings out the best of everybody's personality. And everybody gets along because, you know, we know the ultimate goal is to win.
Just another couple of minutes with Tim Anderson here on The Score. Did you see that Tony said that Luis Robert has some Mike Trout traits in him?
Yeah, I saw that.
What'd you think of that?
No, he's spot on. He's definitely different. You know, when it all comes together and he understands the game more and he get, you know, get to be around and get a lot more field. He has a lot of field now, but once he really gets it, man, he's gonna be dangerous. Like dangerous. I don't think people understand how good like dude is. Like he's good. Like you think of good. Like he's good, man. He's good. He's gonna be good for a long time. He's gonna be around for a long time. But you know, we as veterans, Bray, you and those guys gonna definitely going to be in his head and make sure he's in the right position to be very successful.
How close is it to clicking for him, do you think?
It's there. It's close. He's picking it up. He's slowing the game down. You see how he shrinks the outfield. His bat's coming around. The more bats he gets, the better he's going to get. So everything's coming together, and he's a total package.
Six or seven tools. Say that again?
I said 6 or 7 tools. There's a bunch of tools in his box. He got them all.
Yeah, we were talking about that. What is the 6th or 7th tool? Like, I know the 5. What's the 6th or 7th?
The other tools is things that people can't do, but it's just you have to see them. I mean, you can't really label them. It's just, that's another tool. You just see it, and because your average player can't do it, so I guess that's where other tools come in at.
What about you? I would assume you're going to be the leadoff hitter for this team. Is that your assumption as well?
Yeah, that's my assumption. Yeah.
So what's your approach to being a leadoff hitter with all those boppers behind you?
Just get on. If I get on, then and they hit one in the gap, I can score from first. So all I got to do is get on, really. If I hit a double, that's definitely a plus. They're going to put one in the gap. So as a leadoff, just really set the table. Get the first. Or get the second, just really touch a base, and I think they're going to do the rest. Because there's a lot of guys that go gap to gap, and there's a lot of guys that can go over the fence as well. So, and I'm a guy that can go gap to gap, and I can go over the fence, but my legs work as well. So, however, whichever way the game lands, it's just really let's try to score first. Let's try to jump on them first. So that's really the goal, just to start the party.
You know, I like that. Start the party as the leadoff hitter. And, we know your legs work, but now you're with Nike, man. When are we going to get a signature shoe for Tim Anderson?
Man, that's something that you got to ask Nike, man. That's something I'm pushing for. That's something I'm working on. That's something that's definitely I would like to happen. But, man, I just got to keep playing. Playing got a lot to do with it. So I'm going to just keep playing and see what happens. And if it comes, man, I'll definitely be happy. If not, I got to keep working.
Win a batting title or something, they'll give you one.
Yeah, win two, I guess.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Got to win another one. Well, that's
yeah.
Doesn't make any sense, man. You deserve one. A signature shoe, that is. We know you have the batting title. And then Bears fans wanted me to ask you this question. I know you're a Bama guy. Mac Jones, you think he's legit as an NFL player?
I think he could pan out. He had a great season. He's definitely – we only seen 1 year. And that 1 year we seen was impressive. So just imagine when he does get to the NFL and how much he can learn and how much he can learn from other guys and how much he can learn from all the coaches that have been there. So, I mean, sky's the limit at that point.
I don't know. You would know better than me, but just, all those guys on that line and running back and a couple of first-round picks at receiver, I'm like, anybody could look good.
Yeah, that's definitely is tough. I ain't just the best scout for football, but it's definitely tough. Those guys big, man. It's definitely different. But from what I see, just from how I scout, I think he'll be good.
All right. Hey, listen, that's enough for me. And you can scout baseball, right? You're the best team in the American League, right?
Yeah, you can say that. But, I gotta be a little bit more careful with my words now because people really take those serious. But we have a chance to be the best team in the AL. We got a chance to beat a lot of people. We just got to continue to work and keep getting better and keep rallying around each other. And, the sky's the limit at that point.
Tim, don't become a politician on me. You're the most honest athlete in Chicago. Who cares? If they blog about it, if they podcast about it, if they tweet about it, who cares, man? Just say what you feel. You're the best team in the American League.
Yeah, we the best team in the American League.
My man. I mean, we can't say the F word on the radio, but other than that.
Sorry, everybody that's listening. Sorry.
Oh, God. T.A., listen, man, we want you on the show as much as you're willing to come on, all right? Thank you very much. Have a good one, all right, buddy?
I appreciate it. You guys enjoy.
Be direct.
No time for your questions today. We apologize. We just had to get that Tim Anderson interview out there again. He is refreshing in his openness, his candor, It's honestly amazing to see. He's an easy, easy dude to root for. Send it to your friends, man. People should hear that. It's going to get you excited for White Sox baseball. Tim Anderson was one of our three guests today, in addition to Pat Tomasulo and Preston Johnson, pro sports bettor at Sports Cheetah on Twitter, telling us about the NBA Top Shot craze. Very much enjoyed all three conversations on the show. Zach Zaidman follows us, and then real test for the Bulls tonight. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and top four seed in the West, the Phoenix Suns, have the Bulls tonight. Bulls get a win, they go to 500. Thank you to Brian Gerch. He runs our Twitch stream. Shane Reardon is the executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Hey, if you want that shirt, F it. We're the best team in the American League. 670thescore.threadless.com. All the music on today's show on the Parkins and Spiegel playlist on Spotify. Zach Zaidman coming up next. Spiegel will be back on Monday. My name's Danny Parkins. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
Bye. Have a great Friday, you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.